As we gather together within the household of faith, what a wonderful joy and privilege to gather in the house of the Lord. Welcome each and every one. So good to see Carol with us today. God bless you. And so good to see each and every one of you here today as we gather and worship our Lord. Please join us today after worship for our large coffee hour. And we have times of gathering together downstairs. And we're grateful for the opportunity to do that. Our next Jenny's lunch is October 23rd at noon. And the menu is shepherd's pie, rolls, and dessert. And please contact Nancy McClea if you are planning to attend. On this coming Saturday will be our community dinner on the 24th of October. What a wonderful time of sharing the love of God to our community. And thank you for many hands that are being prepared to help and to guide in that. As well. Our October Mission of the Month is the Veterans and Community Housing Coalition, and this is a new Mission of the Month for our the newest Mission of the Month for our giving, and we'll look forward to doing that on next Sunday to receive monies for the veterans and community housing. And then we're having our craft fair on November 8th. And please make note of that and opportunities to participate in that. And mark your calendars for the Wreaths Across America, which will be December 13th here in the cemetery. And still time to purchase a wreath. If you would want to do that, please see Nancy regarding that. A special welcome to a friend of mine, Wendy. Wendy is a fellow school board member. She's the vice president of the board. And so good to see you here today. Welcome in our worship. All right. Other announcements we wish to make. Karen?
Yes,
sir.
Inviting everybody.
All right. Thank you. Are there any others? Yes, ma'am.
Lorraine McWigerden is doing well. She should be home next Saturday, so she's recovering.
All right. And keep Lorraine in our prayers, and as she recuperates and recovers at home. And that's all Larry's had. Thank you. Thank you, Carol, for that. She's right. She's not a speaker. You rarely hear her talking, and that's absolutely genuine. I suspect she says a few things to you, Larry, but to us, she's not. And thank you so much, Carol, for that. And we do love you. And we're so glad that you're able to be with us in worship today. I wonder, are there any others? Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Thank you. Christ liveth in me. Let us join together, please, in the singing of our introit, hymn number 335, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Our sentences this morning will come to us from Jeremiah chapter 31, verses 27 to 34. Let us read responsively. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and the seed of beast. And it shall come to pass that as I have watched over them to pluck up and break down, to overthrow, destroy, and bring evil, so I will watch over them to build and to plant, says the Lord.
In those days they shall no longer say, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. And no longer shall each man teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise. Hymn number 497, Near to the Heart of God.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Grace-filled God, we confess that we pursue our own needs, neglecting the needs of others. We pursue our own desires while slowly destroying the gifts of your creation. We deflect the call to ministry, ignoring the cries of those in need. We are drawn to proclaim the gospel, yet live it out only in our own convenience. Have mercy on us, O God. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer and reflection, O Heavenly Father. Hear us as we pray. Open our eyes to the truth of the gospel, that whatever the time or wherever we are, we may fully embody your love and justice for all the world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And to be assured that even as we have just collectively prayed, that God hears our prayers and forgives us, we say these words: bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our God.
Lord, have mercy on us. Come and heal your land. Cleanse with your fire, heal with your touch. Humbly we bow.
And just before we're seated, let us affirm the words of the Apostles' Creed. And if you need the words to it, you can do what I do every Sunday. And that is, I open up the hymnal, and in the first page of the hymnal, you'll see the words. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated in the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Can't believe I just told you one of my secrets. I don't know how many of you knew that I open up my hymnal every Sunday, and I open it up to that Apostles' Creed. I know the creed, but every now and then I get the words wrong, and it's, you can't hide it if you're up here and you get it wrong. And so now you know one of my secrets. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ have said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Now, we haven't done this in a while. You don't have to move. You don't have to do anything. But who is your neighbor? That was the question that one asked Jesus, who's my neighbor? And we say this small part of the commandments every Sunday, love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? So if you look to your right, and if you look to your left, and if you look behind you, no, those on the pew, you're going to see the quilt, and you might see the door. And look at in front of you. These are just some of your neighbors. And once we walk out of these doors, you see all the other neighbors. Wherever we are, those are our neighbors. And we love them as well. All right. Our words of assurance will come to us from Psalm 121, verses 1 through 8. Thank you, Greg.
If you wish to follow along, it's on page number 547 in your blue pew Bible. The 121st Psalm. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will lift you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
This is the word of the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Please be seated. Right now, our ministry of music, one big family.
Thank you. let's have some fun with each other, like we're one big happy family.
We have no sound. Jack? It's plain that your sound's coming.
I got a friend in Jesus. I got a friend in Jesus. You got a friend in me. Let's have some fun with each other, like we're one big happy family. Come on now, sing with me. I got a friend in Jesus. You got a friend in me. Let's have some fun with each other, like we're one big happy family. Yeah, let's go left, 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 slide left one more time. Now turn to the right and give someone a high five. Now slide right.
Sit right here. You're going to do the children's thing?
Yeah, this would be.
You guys, why don't you sit right here?
Oh, definitely.
Because then we're going to run down.
Oh, all right. And wow, what a wonderful, wonderful a song that y'all were able to sing. And yes, you did. And you just had a little glimpse of what our Vacation Bible School is like when we sing. I particularly like to run down. And Moses and all that. And I couldn't remember why I neglected to sing with you, but I did the Moses sing down. I forgot that part where you had to go way down. And get back up, because I would have to have somebody help me get back up. But y'all did a fantastic job with that. And it's so good to see our young people here with us. And I just want to mention to you real quickly that one of the things that I wanted to talk to you about is, what do you do when you feel sad or feel discouraged? Because it used to be that when we talk about discouragement, there's grown people all talk about it. But you know what? When young people your age sometimes become discouraged or sad. And what do you do? And so there's a verse that in the book of Psalms, Psalm number 40, and just the first few verses of that psalm. And he said, I found it. I'm so glad I found it. It says this. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from a horrible pit and out of a miry bog, and set my feet upon the rock and made my steps secure. And this is the verse I like so much. I like them all, but I like this. You put a new song in my mouth. help from discouragement is singing. And I'm going to sing to you. But if you want me, you want to hear me sing? Boy, are you smart. Somebody must have warned you. But one of the ways that we may not be sad all the time is to sing happy songs. Sing songs that we learned here. Sing songs in church. Some of the songs you just learned here. Maybe from Vacation Bible School or Sunday School, and a little bit you'll go downstairs to hear some other song. Sing songs that helps us as we wait on God and ask God to help us even when we're feeling sad. That's what we're going to do. Lord Jesus, we thank you that when we are sad or discouraged, that we can wait on you, ask you to help. And one of the things you help us do is to sing songs of praise to you. And it lifts our spirits, and we're no longer in sadness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right now, thank you. Right now, we'll dismiss our young people to children's church. And if we'll pick our hymnals, please, and turn to our next hymn of praise, hymn number 47. And we were able to stand together and sing.
Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. I love those words. God will take care of you. Father God, thank you for songs and hymns that we're able to sing. And as you heard a moment ago when we were talking to the young people, we mentioned one of the ways when we spend time inclining our voice to you, you put a new song in our mouth, even praise to our God. And teach us, Father, even grown folk, to spend time throughout our days singing praises to your holy name, for we know that you take care of us. We thank you for your word. We thank you that the pages of scripture are written to help us in our walk, in our lives, in our journey of faith. And so we ask your blessing upon the scriptures, blessing upon us hearers, and a blessing upon we livers of your word. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will come to us from Luke's gospel, Luke chapter 18, and the first eight verses. We're still following the lectionary as we gather and as we worship and consider God's word. Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain place, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor regarded man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him saying, vindicate me against my adversaries. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor man, regard man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her, or she will wear me out by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God vindicate his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? And verse 8, as the last I will consider on this hour, I tell you, he will vindicate them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, Jesus would often spend time telling parables. Sometimes he will just come out with a parable while he's walking, and he'll see sowers sowing seed, and he comes out with a parable. Other times he's with the disciples, and he wants to teach them a certain lesson, and he comes out with a parable. And in this occurrence, before Jesus comes out with another parable, he gives the reason he's going to give it. Notice verse 1 again. This is why he gives it. He says, to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. Jesus is telling this particular parable about a widow and judges so that all of us might learn how to pray and not lose heart. The phrase lose heart is actually the phrase to be discouraged. To be discouraged. So the purpose of this parable is to encourage prayer and not to be discouraged. Now, this particular verb, discouraged, is written in the infinitive present active. And the reason I mention that is, it is talking about being discouraging. Discouraging. A moment ago, we talked to our young people about when you're discouraged. And many of us know who are involved with little children in school. know how many young people battle with depression and discouragement. It boggles my mind that at such a young age, many of our young people are carrying the weight of the world upon their shoulders. And Jesus gives a parable about how not to be discouraged, but to pray. And as a matter of fact, as he tells this parable, he introduces to us a judge. Now, it's important for us to understand the use of the word judge here. It is not necessarily the judge that we will see when we walk into a courtroom and there sits a judge and they're sitting on their bench and they will rule. I have a close friend of mine who's a judge, and I enjoy being around them. I don't want to stand before them, but I enjoy being around them. But this particular word for judge is actually more of local leaders. Back in Jesus' day, city judges were typically wise, respected men from the elders of the community. And their role was interpreting and applying Jewish law in civil cases and criminal cases and religious matters. And when someone will have a dispute, they'll go to one of the judges and they will trust that whatever they would decide will be according to what the Bible says, what the Old Testament would declare. And so they will go to these judges and will be heard. And Jesus mentions a particular widow. And I'm so glad the Bible says much about caring for widows. As a matter of fact, in James chapter 1, it says, pure religion, undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I think that's James 1:27. I've done that by memory. If it's not, please keep it to yourself. No, James chapter 1, verse 27. And a pure religion is honoring the widows and the orphans in their afflictions. Widows in biblical days were wholly dependent upon their adult children to care for them, to speak up for them, to protect them. And if they did not have an adult child to help them, they're on their own. They're on their own. And supposedly, this widow had no one to help her. So she went to a judge about a dispute. And it was, we don't know what it was. We don't know what the dispute talked about, and it's not really important for us to know that. But even as they disputed among themselves, she went to this judge, and the judge did not regard her need. Notice, again in our text, there was a judge, and she kept coming to him and said, vindicate me against my adversaries. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor regard men, because this widow bothers me, I will vindicate her. I can see that precious little widow. Can't you see her, tender in size, bluish gray hair, kind of wire-rimmed glasses perched on her nose, have a shawl over her shoulders, and she's insistent about a need, and she's not going to take no for an answer. As a matter of fact, she's not going to even take it for a suggestion. She's going to keep on asking. She's going to keep on going. You know, the Bible encourages believers to do that when it comes to God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7 says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Ask, seek, find, and knock. And these three verbs, ask, seek, and knock, appear in an imperative present form, and that is a mood that talks about a command to keep doing something. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. And the answer will be there. You keep on asking. It doesn't mean that you keep on. I have some friends in the back whose that sun is just in your eyes. I'm so sorry that sun is there. I don't mean to have people turn around and look at you. But you can't see what I see up here. I just feel for you. If I had a hat, I'll give it to you. Keep on asking. And the text does not say that simply because God is hard of hearing and forgetful. Text says that because God wants us to depend upon him. God likes it when we ask him for things, when we seek him, when we continue to trust him and knock. It is not because God is testing us in the sense that I just want to see whether they're really going to ask me. No, he likes to hear from us because he loves us. Keep asking. Don't give up. Don't stop. Keep asking. And then the scripture says, God's the same way. Will not God also vindicate his own when they seek God's face? There's a lot going on in this world today. Two days ago I was reading about a report of various places in our world that are in dire need. We hear a lot about Hamas and Israel, and we hear a lot about Russia and Ukraine. We hear very little about Sudan, and we hear a little about all the other nations in this world that are in dire need. We hear very little about Alaska that right now is still underwater in many areas. We hear very little about other local areas that the news does not mention, and yet God knows. And when God's people cry out to God for help and deliverance, it is God who vindicates. That word vindicate refers to an idea of justice. Theologically, it signifies God's judgment and deliverance from being treated wrongly. God takes care of his people. As a matter of fact, that word judgment and vindicate is found in two other places. Luke chapter 18 is one. One other place is 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, in which we read, "And flaming fire taking vengeance on them that knew not God, that obeyed not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." And in Romans chapter 12, verse 19, it said, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord." I'm not to take vengeance in my own hands. Somebody does me wrong, and I'm going to get you back. I'll get you for that. No, rather I give that in God's hands and trust him with it. As a matter of fact, and I mentioned this to you, and I wish I would be able to give you the verse where it's found. But scripture does tell us that if we rejoice when God is putting a hand of judgment upon others, and we rejoice in their downfall, God will stop his hand from judging them. God does not take pleasure in the demise of others, but God does protect his own. And when we are in areas of injustice and we need vindication, we can cry out to God. Let me just give you, in closing, the six ways in which God vindicates his people. Please don't be mindful of the word six. I'm not going to expound each one for about an hour. It's just mention them. How does God vindicate his people? One way he does so is by delivering them from their enemies. If we do have enemies, those who oppress us, take it to the Lord. Ask God. And by God's grace, our enemies who come are not enemies, and those that we look differently to. And God delivered the Israelites from the Egyptians. And then we ask God to vindicate by upholding our righteousness, their righteousness. God defends the integrity of those who put their trust in him. Sometimes we are falsely accused about things. I like what Job says, my witness is in heaven and my record is on high. I don't care what people might say about us, God knows the truth. And God defends his own. And God vindicates his people by judging the wicked. Vindication involves judgment against those who wrong God's people. In Romans chapter 12, verse 19, we already referred to that, and vengeance belongs to God. When God's people are treated wickedly and wrongly, God speaks up for us. And then vindication through Jesus Christ. We are justified. We are made righteous in God's eyes because of what Christ has done on the cross. We are able to be saved. And then God vindicates his people by rewarding faithfulness. Sometimes we say, you know, I live for the Lord, and I try to do what is right, but I look around and it looks like other people who are not living for the Lord, man, they don't look like they have any problems. And it looks like they're just easing it through. Man, wouldn't God care about what we're going through? But beloved, our reward might not be here. It may be, but it may not be. But it certainly, certainly will be when we get into glory, when we get into heaven. That's our reward ultimately. Oh, what a day that's going to be. And then one of the last ways that God vindicates his people is by giving us peace and assurance. Even in the midst of trials, even in the midst of trouble, God can give us peace and strength and assurance that not only is he here with us, but he's able to help and deliver us from all evil, and that God never forsakes us. In all these ways, God demonstrates that he is faithful and committed to the well-being of his own people. Thanks be to God. Instead of worrying and being depressed, Jesus told this parable to teach us to pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that even in the midst of all the things that we're faced with, and many of us, when we walk through these doors, we're going to be faced with them again. And they're going to hit us like a lead brick, and bills that's due, and medical issues, and broken this and broken that, and all the things that happens, and perhaps many of us are worried about. Help us to take those to you in prayer, and leaning upon you and trusting in you. And like that widow, keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking until the answer comes. We pray in your most holy name. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our tithes and our offering. praise and thank you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask your blessing upon them in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Let us pass the peace. I think, Linda, that this song you played for the offertory is "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." Is that it? I'm sorry. I was just asking Linda while you were returning back to your seats. She was playing an offertory. And I asked if she was playing "Where He Leads Me, I Will Follow." And it wasn't. It was "Where He...
I Can Hear My Savior Calling."
I Can Hear My Savior Calling.
But some of my songs have been taken from different songs and reworded.
Because I was singing while I was sitting the other one. Yeah, okay. See, the kids were right. Don't sing. Okie dokie. Well, what a joy it is to gather to the Lord in prayer. Some of us are here today in flesh and blood because somebody prayed for us. And God answered our prayer, yes. And sometimes the prayer was, wait a while. And sometimes the prayer is, no. But we still pray. And we trust God. We've been asked to remember Lorraine Van Wingerden and continue to pray for her. I would add to our prayer list my friend Doug's wife, Joyce, if we can keep her in our prayers, and many, many others that we have placed on our prayer needs and prayer requests. I wonder, are there others that we wish to remember? And I see Farmer's hand.
Friend Dave and his families.
They pray for your friend Dave?
Dave and his family.
Dave and his family, yes. And yes, Gracia?
I like prayers for my daughter-in-law, Crystal.
Okay. Are there any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father God, as we gather around the throne of glory in our prayers, we know that gathered around your throne are all those who have kept the faith and finished their race and rest from their labors. Around your throne also are angels, and they're singing. And as we know, there's music up there. There's a lot of wonderful things happening in heaven. But every time one of your children, like we are doing right now, lift our voices in prayer, you pay attention. You're not distracted by other things. You're not bothered that we're calling again. But you invite us to pray to you. And Father, we have seen, and many of us know, the power of prayer. We've seen you do the unbelievable, the unfathomable, the unexpected. And Father, right now we lift up needs to you, some of the names that were voiced in our hearing were Lorraine and Dave and Joyce, Crystal. And Father, we can mention other names, and we, even without knowing their last name or what other people know or call them, you know precisely who we're talking about. And right now, Father, we pray when healing is needed that you will bring healing. When deliverance is needed, that you will bring deliverance. When protection is needed, that you will bring protection. When financial help is needed, that you will bring financial help. When encouragement is needed, that you will bring encouragement. Father, when loneliness is daunting, that you would bring those around and for company and support. Father, when released from pain, and there are some who's in this building right now whose body's experiencing pain, or we don't talk about it and we don't really share it with others, but our bodies are hurting right now. And I pray for each one that you would bring release from their pain. And even calls your hand of healing to touch that area of their bodies that's hurting right now and take the pain away. Father, there's so many in our world that's facing all sorts of challenges, whether it's war, famine, disease, sicknesses, crimes, all sorts of unbelievable harm we do to each other. Like the story today in Scripture, a widow who had a need and it was not being met. There's many like that in our world today. We remember these. And as we spend a few moments in silent prayer, Holy Father, we ask that you will hear our prayers. And we remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to remind you that right after service, we have a large coffee hour downstairs. We invite you to that. When we just said the prayer a moment ago, I forgot to mention we used the word debts. And perhaps some were saying temptation or sins. One of these Sundays, I want to encourage us to use those different words. I love it when I hear it, when we're in ecumenical gatherings and we say the Lord's Prayer. Some say transgressions, some say sins, some say debt. And I love it when that happens. So be prepared. One of these Sundays, I'm going to ask you to say transgressions instead of debts, or maybe sins instead of debts. Would you be willing to do that? Okay, then I'm going to hold you to it. All right. So let's say the Lord, no, just kidding, we won't. Let's take our hymn notes, please, right now and sing our last hymn of prayer, 354.
Oh.
keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.